Praise the Lord. Okay, let's turn to the book of Matthew, and I'm just going to begin reading with one verse today, and then I'll go back, and so open your Bibles up and keep it in chapter 6, and we'll read through the majority of that chapter, but I just want to start with one of the last verses of that chapter, and that's verse 33 of chapter 6, okay? And Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Let's read this together. Come on. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Now, if you remember, I've been talking about what life is like in the kingdom, and I think one of the key verses to this whole Sermon on the Mount and interpreting it is found in chapter 5 and verse 20, when Jesus said, "But I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." And I don't think he's just talking about heaven in the sweet by and by. It includes that, but it's also talking about God's reign here and now, how he does things here and now. So if you can't get above the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you can't get into the way God is doing things in the here and now. Okay? And then he really makes these, he positions these two in antithesis of each other. First is the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, which we see shot through with holes. It was a righteousness that was based upon pride and selfish interests and selfish motives. And then there's the righteousness of the kingdom citizen that is really based in humility and someone who has the right heart. And so he gives the Beatitudes, which talks about really the right character, the proper character of a kingdom citizen. And then last week I talked about the motives of the heart, the proper motives of a kingdom citizen. And this week we're going to focus on priorities and what are the proper priorities for a kingdom citizen. Because when Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of heaven," he's saying, place that first and foremost in your life. Let God and his way of doing things be placed first and foremost in your life. Let the kingdom of heaven be first. And then he goes back and walks through this passage. I'm not going to deal with verses 1 through 12 because they deal with religious practices, and I've preached a lot on those, verses 1 through 18. But I'll just review them quickly. He says, first of all, when you give, don't be like the Pharisees and scribes who give to be seen, but you guys should give not to be seen. You should give out of the right heart. Then he says, and when you pray, don't be like the scribes and Pharisees who pray to be seen, but you pray with the right heart and the right intent. And when you fast, don't be like the scribes and Pharisees who fast to be seen, but you fast in private and you fast with the right motive of heart. And I don't think we have seen anyone this morning get up and like, when you gave your global outreach offering, you were like, "I'm giving 1,000. That's what he's saying. Don't be like that. Because he's saying if you have that kind of heart, guess what? You have your reward right now. And that reward was people thought you were really cool and they were impressed by you. Well, that becomes your reward. But he says, don't be like that. Instead, do it in secret, or don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. I don't think he meant never give a public offering. I don't think that's the intent. That would be looking at that in a legalistic way. I think the simple truth is just have the right attitude and the right humble spirit when you give and when you fast and when you pray. Now we go down to verse 18 or verse 19. And he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now he's turning to the priorities of a kingdom citizen, and it's interesting to me, the whole passage from here to the end deals with money and possessions. It deals with money and possessions. And why is that? Because what do we spend most of our time trying to acquire, thinking about, worrying about? Money, work, those things that make it possible for us to pay the bills, feed the kids, send them to school. Hallelujah. We think about those things. Even if you look at the structure of American cities, modern American cities, or cities in Western Europe or pretty much around the world, if you go in any city, what part of that city has the most prominent places in it? I mean, the tallest buildings, the most money, the most activity. It's usually the business district. If you go downtown, we want to go downtown to the business district. This is where it's happening. This is where all the influence is. But if you look at colonial America and go back especially to the New England states and colonial America, you know what the towns were built around? They're built around a church. They would build that church, and then all of their social life and in all of their financial and business dealings had the church as the center of it. Isn't that interesting? And so we've come today and we've turned the tables, and now money or business or making a living or paying the bills, it's consumed us. And so out of three chapters, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, which make up, as I've argued, the greatest sermon on earth. Of the greatest sermon on earth, almost one-third of it deals with money and possessions. And people say, we shouldn't address these things in church. Well, tell Jesus that. Because he definitely preached on money and he definitely preached on possessions. Some have done the calculations and say he taught on that more than he did heaven or hell. Because he knew where most of our time and most of our brain time is spent in doing is just thinking about how are we going to make it. I don't know about you, but I've had some of those nights. I've had some of those nights when I've laid there worrying and everyone else has been asleep and I'm there wide awake worrying if I'm going to pay the bills. Or worrying if we're going to, you know, pay off this debt, or I'm going to meet my mortgage, or going to meet my house. I mean, through the years, I've been in those positions. And I know some of y'all can say amen to that. So what's Jesus saying? He says two things, I think, for the kingdom citizen. Number one, the kingdom citizen doesn't make the world his first priority. The kingdom citizen doesn't put the world first. The kingdom citizen, the kingdom person doesn't put the world first. Why? There's several reasons he gives us. First of all, because the things of this world are corruptible. He said if you store up treasures on earth, you're just storing up things so the moth and the rust and all that can get to them, and it's just going to rust away. So think about it if you make that your priority. Because these things will rust, these things will be done away with, right? I play golf. I've been playing golf since I've been a teenager, and I play all of once or twice a year. Yes, hallelujah. And so I'm out in my garage the other day, and I'm looking for something in our garage, and I had to move my golf bag to get to whatever I was looking for, and I realized that some of my golf clubs had rusted. Now, dude, you know you're not playing when you go out there and you find your golf clubs have rusted. But the thought instantly hits me. Hey, I probably should go buy a new set of golf clubs. And then I thought about it again and reality set in. Yeah, but Hans, how much do you use those golf clubs? But if I had a new set, it'd be cool, man. Okay, I'm trying to preach on myself so I don't get into your junk drawer, but I'm getting in there in a second, all right? But these things are corruptible. Golf clubs are good, but you know what? They're not going to last forever. Cars are good, But anything mechanical has the potential to break down and to rust and to fall apart and the paint to chip away and the tires to wear out and the battery to go dead. Houses are beautiful. I love them. Thank God for living in a house. But the house leaks when the rain blows and the shingles blow off, and your HVAC unit will eventually break down, and your microwave will eventually be toast, no pun intended. And all this stuff will eventually break down. It's all corruptible. Anything that's made by man. So the wise kingdom person doesn't make those things his priority. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now listen to this. The next two verses puzzled me. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore that the light that is in you is in darkness, how great is that darkness? Now this entire section is talking about wealth and possessions. But I thought, Lord, this doesn't fit. Why are you talking about our eyes and light and darkness? And this is what I think Jesus is saying. If you focus on the world, and if your priorities are this world, your vision is impaired. Because you're only focusing on this life, and you're super nearsighted for eternity. You're just thinking about how can I make it till next year, or how can I make it till I'm 65, glory to God. Or how can I make it until I retire, and then if I'm 80, hey, praise God. You know what? And that seems like a long time to us, but in light of eternity, it's just a breath. And Jesus is saying, if you want the proper perspective and you want to see fully and you want to see clearly, then get your priority set on eternity. And let eternity determine your priorities. Well, hallelujah. So kingdom people don't focus on they don't make the here and now their priority because it's corruptible. And number two, because it leads us astray. Now Jesus says this in the next verse, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Mammon is an Aramaic word that means money. You can't serve God and money. Why? Because one will become the master. One will eventually win out. So kingdom people don't focus on the here and now, or don't make it the priority, I should say, because the here and now is corruptible. The here and now will lead us astray if it's our focus. And the here and now, if we make the here and now our priority, it will lord over us. There's a master and servant issue Jesus is bringing out here. And that is, you can make eternity your priority and that'll serve you well. But if you make things and the here and now your priority, then you'll become a servant of those things. You ever think about it? You thought, man, if I could just buy that Sea-Doo, the world's going to change. Nothing's wrong with Sea-Doos. Okay, that's going over like a lead balloon. I'm going to try another example. Let's say if I could buy that Corvette. Everything's shifting about my life when I get that Corvette. I'm going to the next level. I'm sorry, I'm cracking myself up. But if I just get that Corvette, the world will shift. Then we get that Corvette, and we smell that new Corvette smell, and we're like, and I'm riding around town like I'm all that and a bag of chips. And it's like, I'm the man. And then next month arrives, and the payment arrives in the mail. And you think, I thought I was the man. But now I'm going to pay for being the man, right? And I focused on the here and now. And now this thing has just become my master. Now I'm going to have to go get a second job to pay for this coolness. I'm getting down your junk drawer right now, but we're going to get out of it, and you're going to clean it out, and you're going to be all right at the end of the sermon. Somebody wave at me and say hallelujah. Yeah, you don't want the here and now to become your master. You want it to serve you for eternity. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Then he comes to the last point here, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, those who do not have the kingdom of God seek. The Gentiles sink, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Okay, again, Jesus is using extreme examples to teach a simple lesson. Are we never to make out our grocery list? Are we never to ask what's for supper and think through that? Are we never to think about what we're going to wear on any given day? Are we never to shop for clothes? No, he's not saying that. Are we never to own a bank account? I don't think he's saying that at all. I think he's saying just put your stuff in the right priorities. And if you put God first, then all these other things are going to line up in correct priority, and it won't produce anxiety in your life. You won't be worried and won't be dreadful and won't be full of depression and anxiety and fear, worrying how you're going to make it to next month. Those things will flee if you get the priorities straight. Can somebody say amen? Amen. There's a law of first things in the Bible. There's a law of first things in the Old Testament. And when the people would harvest their crops, the Lord commanded them, said, take the first fruits and give it to the Lord. When those who were raising animals, when they would have new animals and all that, he said, take the first fruits and give it to the Lord. That's a tithe. A tithe means one tenth. When Abraham won a battle, he came back and met Melchizedek, this mysterious priest of Salem, and he tithed unto him all the spoils of war. Why is that in the Old Testament? Because there's something about first fruits that when you give the first as honoring God, then all of the rest he sets in proper priority for you. I'm not promising you you're going to become a millionaire, and I'm not promising you you're not going to have some tribulation in this life. Matter of fact, Jesus told you you would. And I'm not promising you a life free of trouble, but I am saying if you properly position your life and put it in proper priorities with God at the first, then he's promised to order the rest of it, and we won't be servants of our clothes and servants of other people and servants of our bank accounts or our bank notes or however it's going to go. We'll put God first and all these other things will serve us. Can you shout hallelujah? Can somebody shout amen? So we don't serve the things in this earth. We don't put these in top priority because they're corruptible, because they lead us astray, because they become our masters, and because they produce anxiety within us. So what do? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Amen. Why? Because tomorrow is going to come if you worry about it or don't worry about it. And guess what? Tomorrow is going to be full of its own junk. How about let's just live in the day? You know, I think one of the keys of life, and I haven't done this well, one of the keys to life is, I think, to live in the now. I think it's just to live in the now. I was challenged by a psychologist on this recently. I was reading his works, and he was talking about living in the now. That often we're so worried about the future, we can't even give our family a conversation in the now. I think it was my daughters I was with the other day, and they were talking about something, and I think one of them said, are you engaged in this conversation? I said, you know what, to be honest, there's only so much space in my brain. And I really don't want this conversation crowding out the other things that I'm thinking about and concerned about. What a sad answer, right? But don't you feel that way? That I only have so much hard drive space and this world is maxing it out right now, and I'm thinking about tomorrow and I'm living 5 years from now and I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to pay for my house and I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do retirement because all that seems to be gone. And CNN says that the stock market is going to crash and all the Social Security is going to be taken away by Congress, and what are we going to do? Glory! And there's going to be a global third world war. There's going to be a tsunami on the East Coast. That's why I watch less and less news as the days go by. I don't want my mind. I have so much space. I don't want it on that stuff. Because I'm not going to live in fear of that, and I'm not going to believe that garbage. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory. Hallelujah. Jackie and I were first married. We lived in a van. Down by the river. No, just kidding. We lived in a van. And then we had some revivals. We preached and we slept on the pews. Then one night, we slept in the van under an orange tree in Florida and preached revivals. Now, I don't want to go back there. But I will say this. We often talk about it, how it was some of the greatest times of our life. Because our happiness wasn't dependent upon stuff. We were just happy to be with each other. Just happy to be doing something for the Lord. The stuff is just an extra blessing, but the stuff can come or the stuff can go. It doesn't determine your happiness in this life. Come on, somebody, shout hallelujah. The stuff can come, but we all have this natural desire to want stuff. I mean, my gosh, I was telling the early service, it's like, I'm going to show my age here, but it's like the Ginsu knife commercials. I don't care any more about kitchen knives than anything, but you would see that thing, and that guy'd cut through a can. Then he cuts through like a ham bone. And then he takes a piece of paper. And you're thinking, where's the phone? I need that set of knives, man. Or like QVC's the best to me. I actually admire these people at QVC because they're like, hey, John and Sue, you guys are salespeople. You have the next hour, and we want you to sell this set of Dollar Tree glasses. They're like, okay. Hey, folks, today we're selling these glasses. They're absolutely amazing. Because they magnify things. I mean, they make things so clear, it's unbelievable. Could you know that, Sue? I'm telling you, I've tried them on myself. And now, let's see. For the next 15 minutes, we're going to run this deal. That if for the next 15 minutes you call in, we're going to, it's only a dollar, it's going to be 50 cents. 50 cents. And you're sitting there like, oh, dude, I got to do this within the next 15 minutes. I actually admire guys that can sell like that. But there's something in us that thinks we have to have it, and if we have it, it's somehow going to assuage all of the guilt and all of our conscience and all of the bad things, and everything's going to come back and go to copacetic form, and we're all going to be peaceful. My wife and I used to laugh about someone we knew years ago who spent mega tons of money on finger hut stuff. Now I'm showing my age here too on finger hut. But nonetheless, I come home the other day and on my kitchen counter is lying a finger hut magazine. Okay, this is not relating. I won't preach to the young folks. Amazon. And if you belong to Amazon Prime like I do, anything now is accessible through your cell phone. And we can just drop, boom, I need that thing, and ding, 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 and that book that I will never read, but it's enticing me right now. So I think I need it. And if I get it through Amazon, I get free shipping anyhow. And I'm going to have it in a couple of days right to my door and don't even have to go to a bookstore. And not only that, they've gotten into everything now. You can get cows, horses, and buggies. I'm just kidding. But you can get anything on Amazon now. And it's like, and then it entices us and we got to have this thing. And then in 6 months, you and your wife talk and you're like, we're going to have a yard sale. We've got so much junk, we're going to have a yard sale to get rid of. When are we ever going to use this stuff? I'm just having fun this morning, but I'm really getting in your grill here. Why are we so concerned about the here and now when Jesus is saying there's an eternity coming that is so amazing and so incredible and so great? Spend the majority of your focus on the eternity that's in your future. Somebody give him a shout and shout hallelujah. So we raise our kids. Our top priority is to teach them how to play baseball. Or our top priority is to get the best education they can so they can get in the best college possible, so they can get the best profession possible, so they can get the best job possible. All of those things are honorable. But it's not cool if you do that and never teach them about Jesus. If you make church, Christmas and Easter, you're a creaster. And all you're worried about, we got to get there. And you know what? I want to get there early because I want the back row. That hit too close to home. It's like, yeah, I want the back row and the front parking space. Matter of fact, I'm just going to take the guest. I don't come enough. I'm just going to be a guest tonight. No, that's not going to cut it, man. When you show your kids, you lead by example. So when you show your kids, this is what we do. We worship the Lord. And you know what? We worship Him on the first day of the week. Why is that? Because we law of first things. We're giving God the best today. You guys have decided to give the Lord the best of your week, and I declare in Jesus' name a blessing over you this week. I just believe a blessing's coming your way this week. Because you've made a determination, I'm getting out and trudging through the rain and coming to church, and it's going to be good, and God's going to bless because you've put Him first this week. Can somebody say amen? Amen. That's what we got to do. Train our kids. Raise them up. Make church a priority. Make God a priority. Set the kingdom first, and then your family second, and everything else falls below. God first in your life. Your family second, and everything else comes below. Can we shout amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Say it with me. Kingdom people. Put God first. Kingdom people. Don't put the world first. Hallelujah. Let's say that one more time and get in your spirits. Kingdom people. Put God first. And kingdom people don't put the world first. You know, you can talk to someone, and within the first 5 minutes of conversation, you can usually see if that person's heart is centered in God or if it's centered in this life. Usually takes about 5 minutes. Just talk to someone, and you can determine, are they earthly-minded or heavenly-minded? You say, well, Pastor Hunt, should we all just be monks then? No, I'm not saying that. Should we all just sell everything we have and go into ministry? I'm not saying that at all. I'm just talking about priorities. There have been great men and women of God who have loved the Lord with all their heart and became millionaires and billionaires. There are great men and women of God who loved God with all their heart and became some of the most successful actors, artists, musicians, writers, poets, scholars the world has ever known. But they had a priority to their life. Even Doyle, who's going to be with us tonight. So I posted something on Facebook this week, just kind of advertising this concert tonight. And Doyle is at a meeting in California. And he goes, he's invited, musicians in this room will know what Sweetwater is. Sweetwater.com is like, it's like the Amazon of musical instruments now online. Well, Sweetwater has these gear fests, which is like thousands of people come out. And it's just like seeing people play the latest guitars and the latest drums and the latest synthesizers and the latest and greatest stuff. Well, Doyle was at their event last year. and he texted me. He said, "Hey, Hans, look who I'm with here, man." And he's playing the guitar with Steve Vai. For the uninitiated in this room, Steve Vai is one of the greatest rock guitarists on earth. Then in the next picture, he's with Eric Johnson. For the uninitiated in this room, Eric Johnson's one of the greatest guitarists, period, on planet Earth. Then he's with David Peck, who's a great guitarist who had a band called Ambrosia back in the 70s. Glory. He's sitting with all these guys. And I'm loving it because his talent got him in that circle. And he never compromises who he is or what he believes. Is that great? But he stands up and sings, "Jesus and my old guitar. Me and Jesus and my old guitar." Right in front of all these greats. I love it, man. I love it. I love it. J.C. Penney, they say, was a wealthy guy in the day. I mean, worth millions. But he put God first. And they said by the end of his life, he was giving 90% of his income away and living on 10. When Doug Eccles was with us, I don't know if he did it this year, but in years past, he's carried a book with him by a guy named Lee Tourneau, who was an inventor and builder of heavy equipment, dozers and end loaders and stuff like that. And he started supporting ministries and supporting Oral Roberts. And they said when he died, they had to get a team of CPAs out to figure out how much the guy was worth. Put God first. Put God first in whatever you do. In your art, in your music, in your scholarship, in your schooling, in your profession, in your farming. Hallelujah. Put him first in all of it, man. And watch God do some amazing things, properly ordering your life. Can everybody shout hallelujah? Let's give the Lord a praise in here this morning. Come on, let's give him a praise in here this morning. Hallelujah. God, we honor you and we bless you. Come on, stand with me and just give him a thanks. Give him a thanks offering. God, we honor you. Come on, clap your hands and give him a... Lord, we bless you. We put you first place in our lives today, Lord. We put you first in our lives today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We put you first in our lives, God. Come on, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word today, Lord. And thank you, Jesus, that you knew how important possessions and money, making a living was to us. And you gave us this beautiful teaching on it. And now, Lord, I pray for all those who are in here today and they're wrestling with this anxiety, this fear of tomorrow. They're just thinking about next week and can they make it till next month and what are they going to do when they retire? And God, I just pray that all of that goes today, that it just goes, that it's placed in proper priority and that the fear and dread of it goes. We break it now in Jesus' name. And we just declare everyone free in this room right now because of the word that's been spoken. Lord, you promised us in Isaiah that your word wouldn't go out void, but it would accomplish that thing that you send it to do. And today it accomplishes driving out anxiety and fear and dread for tomorrow. And God, I give you praise right now in Jesus' name for what you're doing. Lord, I thank you for every precious soul in this church. And I thank you for what you're doing in their hearts, God. And I thank you, God, for turning the situation around for them. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hey, guys, thanks so much for watching or listening to our podcast. I'm so honored that you tuned in, and I pray the sermon was a great blessing to you. I don't know where you are right now in life, but I know one thing. God loves you, and he has a plan for your life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, how about praying this prayer with me, opening up your heart and inviting the Lord to come in? Come on, just a simple prayer. The Bible says, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Are you one of those whosoevers? If so, open up your heart right now and just pray with me. Just say, "Father in heaven, I accept Jesus Christ into my life. Forgive me of all my sin and give me a new start today. In Jesus' name I pray, and you can say amen where you are. Please join us online for more information. We hope you come back and visit us, and we love you dearly, and go follow God and go into the destiny that He has for your life.